SiriusXM Insight. This is Stand Up with Pete Dominic.
Josh Sapp's here, sitting in for Pete all week. It's a great day in New York City, and it's also, I don't know if you've noticed, a Thursday. You know what Thursday means? The day before Friday. You know
Taco
what Friday
Thursday.
Means? No, Chris, don't get derailed.
Taco Friday.
I know that all you can think about is tacos and burritos and all kinds of tasty Mexican foodstuffs.
Yeah.
But I'm just giving the listener, who I don't even know, I'm making presumptions here that the listener dislikes his slash her job. They might regret that tomorrow is Friday because they love Mondays because they love working so much. So I apologize for the stereotype. But if you like weekends better than weekdays, hey, take heart. 36 hours to go. Then it's TGIF.
I think that's the thing to ask because our trucker friends, I don't think they have weekends off, right?
Right.
I hope they take some time off.
But they might enjoy the weekends more than the weekdays because maybe they're pulling through a Spaghetti Junction down in Georgia and maybe it's a little less trafficy.
Could
be. I have no idea what I'm saying.
Nobody has a clue what you're talking about right now. But you're saying that if you're driving on a long-haul interstate on a Sunday, then maybe there's less traffic than on a Monday.
I guess. I'm just trying to make them feel included.
I think I've just decided to pronounce Sunday and Monday that way for the rest of my life.
Like Barramundi.
Sure, if you want to... Yeah, great. Delicious Australian fish. Did you know it was Australian, Chris?
I know it's a bar downtown.
Oh, really? You know a lot more about getting drunk in New York City than you do about Australian tropical fish. It's currently National Reentry Week, which deals with how best to assimilate people who are coming out of jails. And I wanted to discuss this with the senior counsel in the Brennan Center for Justice's Justice Program. She focuses on improving the criminal justice process through legal reforms. Welcome to the program, Lauren Brookhisen.
Thank you for having me.
Can you explain what National Reentry Week is?
Sure. So National Reentry Week is something new. This is a week that the Obama administration and the Justice Department have rolled out to really focus on criminal justice reform, but specifically around reentry. And this is the first time that any administration has put such a focus on reentry. And that's really important because about 9 million individuals are released from jail each year. About 600,000 people are released from prison back to their communities every year. So the prison system, the jail system and the prison system, it's really this revolving door. And one of the reasons why it's such a revolving door and our recidivism rates are about 40%, meaning, you know, recidivism being rearrested or reconvicted a couple of years after you're released, is because we just don't focus on improving the lives of those who are released from our jails and our prisons. I'm sure you've heard about, you know, the $5 and a bus ticket that for so long our correctional system focused on when someone was released. I mean, you would literally be told, here's your bag of clothes that you came in with 20 years ago, and here's a bus ticket, and here's $10, and, you know, go on your merry way. And so this focus on reentry is hugely important.
I'm going to ask a really stupid question now, but it's because I'm not from this country. What is the difference between a jail and a prison? Those are terms that are used interchangeably in Australia.
Great question. So jails are typically for a short-term stay. So jails are usually run by the county or the sheriff, and you might be in jail pre-trial. So about 60% of people in jails across the country, they're just there waiting for their next hearing or their trial. They haven't actually been convicted of any crime. Additionally, if someone is sentenced to incarceration for less than a year, you may end up in a jail as opposed to a prison. So they're really set up for short-term stays. Jails typically don't have any sort of programming, you know, rehabilitative programming or drug or alcohol treatment. They're really short-term facilities. Prisons are longer-term facilities, where someone goes if they're sentenced for a year or more, and those are much more long-term facilities.
Are recidivism rates worse from prisons?
You know, the recidivism rates at jail and prison, the numbers aren't great. The data is very, very hard to collect in terms of recidivism rates. So you'll hear different experts saying the recidivism rate is 30%, it's 40%. That is because every single state, believe it or not, measures recidivism differently. Or not every state. Some of the states use this same methodology. But sometimes the recidivism rate is 1 year after release. Sometimes it's 3 years after release. Sometimes it's arrest rate. Sometimes it's conviction rate. So it gets a little complicated. But looking across the country, all of the experts have determined that the recidivism rates are pretty high, about 40%.
What can we do to get those down then? I mean, let's just start with what actually happens when a person leaves prison. So you mentioned $5 and a bus ticket. What literally happens in the hours and days after an ordinary prisoner is released?
Well, so in the past couple of decades, states and the federal government have made huge strides in improving reentry. So it's pretty rare today that you would get no reentry services. You know, the Justice Department has funded something called the Second Chance Act, and that's hugely important legislation because that funds states to improve their reentry services. And a lot of states have these reentry councils and job training, and state-based groups will sometimes work with formerly incarcerated individuals and their families. But it's, you know, it's not consistent across the country. So in some small towns, you still may be released with no services. I think a lot of money and resources has been spent over the past couple of decades to really improve the infrastructure of reentry across the country, but it's not perfect. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why our recidivism rate is so high. And it's not just you know, what happens exactly on reentry that affects these recidivism rates. But if you look at all these vast collateral consequences, people can't get jobs, right? I'm sure you're familiar with this ban the box legislation. Mm. You know, a lot of states will not, you know, it's very hard to get a job if you have a criminal record because someone sees that in your job application.
And just to clarify, the ban the box legislation would make it impermissible for employers to ask whether or not you had a criminal record when they're hiring, right?
Yes, and that's something that the Obama administration has led the way on. So they have, through executive order, he has expanded ban the box, which is very significant.
Can you explain the rationale to me? I understand that this is something that can sort of haunt you for the rest of your life, but there are some conflicting rights here, right? If I'm running a small business and I want to make sure that my employees are honest and trustworthy, why does my right to be able to make a decision about whether or not to hire a felon, why is that trumped by the felon's right to be able to conceal that information?
So it's not that they're concealing that information. It's one piece of information. And if you think about it this way, I mean, imagine if the worst mistake you ever made followed you around for the rest of your life. And that's really what's happening here. And you might have someone who was in prison for, you know, buying drugs and was addicted to drugs. That doesn't mean that person wouldn't be a wonderful engineer or construction worker or is dishonest in any way. You know, there are a lot of drug addicts or, you know, people who have at one point in time been suffering from drug addiction who employers, you know, they don't know that they had that problem because they didn't have a criminal record. You know, they were wealthy enough to avoid jail or incarceration.
Yeah, that's interesting. If anyone has been in prison and can give us a personal account of what it was like actually re-entering back into society, it'd be fascinating for us to hear at 877-974-7487. That's 877-9-SIRIUS, or if you just have a question for Lauren Brooke Eisen. So are there places in the world or jurisdictions within America that we ought to look to and think, well, they're doing a really good job about being able to make sure that prison populations come out and are reintegrated into society in a way that's going to make it less likely for them to reoffend?
I think a lot of states and counties are working towards improving their reentry policies. I know through the Second Chance legislation, a lot of jurisdictions are doing better, and They have set up these reentry councils and these faith-based groups and mentoring and, you know, job training programs. New York City is actually a pretty good example. There are a lot of nonprofits in New York that, like the Osborne Association, the Fortune Society, and these organizations work with not only the formerly incarcerated, but they work with their families. They provide a lot of holistic sort of wraparound services. You know, even the Bronx Defenders, which is a public defender organization, doesn't forget about you once you're in jail or prison. You know, they stay in contact. And I think New York is a really good example because there's so many different organizations that can be helpful. And, you know, this job training and mentorship, this is all very, very important because all of the research and statistics show that being able to have a job and contribute to your family and be a, you know, active, productive member of your community really reduces recidivism. And there was, interestingly enough, there was a White House report that was released just this very week on Monday that indicates that an increase in minimum wage would actually reduce crime in this country. And so there are a lot of things we could be doing besides just incarcerating.
I'm glad you mentioned the minimum wage because I do feel like when we're having this conversation about how do you enable prisoners to re-enter society in the most satisfying and least disruptive way, we're really just sort of plucking leaves off a much, much bigger tree of the whole problem of the criminal justice system, right? I mean, there should be fewer people going into prison. America over-incarcerates its population at incredible rates when compared to other developed countries. The prisons should be more oriented towards rehabilitation instead of being as punitive as they are so that people aren't quite as damaged when they get out of prison. American society should have less economic inequality so that there aren't entrenched communities where crime seems the only solution to poverty. Like, there's a vast mosaic that we're only looking at one corner of here, right?
Absolutely. And we need to be asking who should be incarcerated in the first place. There's so much evidence that prison is less effective at rehabilitating people than programs outside of prison. And they actually, prison has sometimes the opposite effect for low-level offenders, exposing them to people who have vast criminal histories. And there's a lot of evidence that those who spend time in prison actually come out and commit more crimes, often because they've been exposed to, triple bunking in these prisons and, you know, unhygienic conditions and separated from their communities and lost their jobs. And there's just a huge growing body of evidence indicating that alternatives to incarceration are so much more effective in a lot of cases than imprisoning someone and much cheaper. You know, prison is very expensive. It costs, in most states, it costs more to imprison someone for a year than it does to go to Harvard. It's about $40,000.
I'd prefer Harvard, personally.
Yes, as would most
on the cards. Lauren Brookeisen, it's great to talk to you. This is National Reentry Week, and if you want to find out more about it, then people can go to the Brennan Center for Justice website, I assume?
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Great. You got it. Thanks.